And another surprise from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. I think the two strongest cravings of the human body. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Let's take a little look from Scripture at some of the examples of what hunger can do and what thirst can mean. 2 Kings chapter 6. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. A powerful Syrian army has surrounded the city of Samaria. And this is the good news. The bad news is this. And there was a great famine in Samaria. Food was very scarce to come by. And behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's not the bad news yet. I mean, we wouldn't want to even think of eating the head of a donkey. But in those days, with a famine as bad as it was, a donkey's head brought 80 pieces of silver, which was a hefty fortune. Only the rich could afford it. But it got worse. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." But he said, "If the Lord does not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said to her, "What aileth thee? What's your problem?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give thy son that we may eat him,' but she hath hid her son." You know, this is something that's difficult for you and I to even begin to comprehend. Mothers killing their own children and boiling them and devouring them because the famine is so great. But let's not point fingers. The same wicked seeds that were in their hearts are in yours and mine. And except for the Holy Spirit, we would be capable of doing the same thing. There but for the grace of God be I. We can be driven to terrible measures by hunger. What about thirst? You know, people that are dying usually crave a drink of water. That seems to be the worst thing, is that driving thirst that they have. And there was a man one time that Jesus told about that had a thirst. He had it in an odd place. He said there was a rich man one time, a certain rich man, which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know the story. And out at his gate laid a beggar whose name was Lazarus, who would desire to even have the garbage that the rich man threw away, but he didn't even have that. And so time passed, and finally the beggar Lazarus died. Now it happened that Lazarus was a child of God, and when you looked at his physical condition, you couldn't begin to imagine the wealth that was his. Because when he died, a company of angels came down from heaven, took his soul, and brought it right up into paradise with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Christ and all the rest. Now the rich man also died and was buried. He had a far different reception when he died because his soul was taken down into the fiery pit. And when he was down there, he experienced a thirst the likes of which he had never experienced before. And he looked up and he saw Abraham and Lazarus up in paradise, and he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here was this man that on the earth had so many things. All this money that he had and this big castle and all the good clothes and all the good things to eat and everything. And he had plenty of wine to drink too. Now he's down in hell and he doesn't even have a drop of water. And he's craving it. He can't get along without it, but he doesn't have any. And he wants Lazarus now to come down and give him just a drop. Abraham says, no, it doesn't work that way. Remember, when you were on the earth, you had your good things and Lazarus had it rough. Now he has his good things and you have evil things. And besides that, there's a great big gulf between us. Nobody can go from one place to the other. You're stuck. Well, then he started thinking of his five brothers who were still alive on the earth. He said, I have five brothers. Send Lazarus that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Well, you know how that story ended. Abraham said, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them read the Bible. They'll believe that. He said, no, that's not enough. But if somebody came to them from the dead, they would believe. Abraham said, don't kid yourself. If they don't believe the scriptures, they wouldn't be convinced even though somebody rose from the dead. But you see how bad it can be for a person who's hungry or a person who's thirsty. And what is true of the body here is also true of the soul. And in fact, it may well have been the soul of the rich man that was craving that drop of water. But there's the same sort of craving that the soul has as you have in the body, but you don't realize it. The fall of sin has wrecked some things. And so we can have cravings in the soul that we're not even aware of. Now, there are some psalms that talk about this. Now, Psalm 42, for instance, begins with this picture. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? The picture here is of a deer that has been hunted all day. And he's been running and fleeing for his life under the hot desert sun. And in the back of his mind, he sees the hunter pursuing him. Maybe even hears the baying of the dogs. And toward the end of the day, man, that deer is thirsty. What he would give just to be able to dip his muzzle into the cool rivers of the brook and take a thirsty drink. Well, you and I are hunted too. In an earth that is called a dry and thirsty wilderness. Only though the enemies we have are not human ones. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That would be easy. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I have great, powerful spiritual enemies that are daily searching for our souls. And our soul thirsts for God. Now, when Jesus talks about hunger and thirst, you know, everybody hungers and thirsts. There are no exceptions to this. The question is, what do you hunger and thirst for? And when Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, he's talking only about his own people. Because they're the only ones that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The children of the devil hunger and thirst too. The question is, what do they hunger and thirst after? And the answer is many and varied. There are so many things in this world that the children of the devil are hungering and thirsting for. Some of them hunger and thirst after fame. They want their pictures in the papers or in some book that's going to last for hundreds of years so other generations will remember them. People do odd things in order to become famous. Some of them will jump out of the bleachers at a ball game that's being televised and run out and kiss one of the players, hoping that they're going to be on television for doing that. Some people douse themselves with oil and set themselves on fire and burn themselves to death, among other things, to make a name for themselves. People like to be famous. People also like to be well-educated. Some people make education almost a god. They strive for it. They become professional students. And it's not wrong in itself to learn things, but you can go overboard in that too. Some people want money. They hunger and thirst for riches and all the good things that money can buy. And about a block and a half where I live, which is a place called God's Country, you go down on a Sunday morning and the people are going out there in boats, some of them $35,000, $40,000 a piece, and the parking ramps are filled on Sunday morning, going out to have a good time. And that's not necessarily wrong either if you're right with God, but you know the children of the devil aren't. You know, Jesus said something one time. The children of the devil don't believe and don't know, but it's true. He said, the happiness of a person's life does not consist in the amount of things that he possesses. But that's the trick that the devil plays on his people. They think that it does. They believe that the more money you have and the more possessions you have, the happier you're going to be. Now, Jesus showed that that wasn't true, and the Bible shows that's not true. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 21. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab was a very wealthy king. He had a palace that was located in the city of Jezreel, which was kind of his summer home. It was the best place you possibly could be in the land of Samaria. It was called the air-conditioned city. It was built high in the hills, and the wind came right off the ocean. It was a shady place. It was the most comfortable place you could be, and that's where Ahab had his big palace. And there was a vineyard that Naboth had that joined the palace. It was right by it. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house, and I will give you for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you the worth of it in money. Now Ahab wanted that vineyard. He said, I'll make a deal with you. Sell it to me. I'll give you either a whole bunch of money for it, or I'll give you a vineyard that's better, but I want that one. Now Naboth didn't want to sell that. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Now this was very precious to Naboth because his father had had that before. At that time his grandfather had had it. And it was kind of peace that was handed down. It was his ground that he owned in the Holy Land. He didn't have much else, but he did have that. And he said to Ahab, no, I'm not going to give that up. Now we find out what Ahab did. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid himself down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. Isn't this amazing? Here is a king. Somebody who has this great, big, beautiful palace, all of this money, and the best thing money can buy. And he's unhappy and he's displeased, so unhappy that he won't even eat anything. Why? Because there's a vineyard that he doesn't have. Now later on, he ends up getting it, by the way, and you know how that happened. He had the owner killed, and then he went down and grabbed the inheritance. But you see, here it is, a rich person who has all this money, but he's not happy. Jesus was right. The happiness of a person does not consist in the amount of things that he possesses. You wouldn't have found a more miserable person in the whole land than King Ahab. Because you see, the devil's children always want more. They're never satisfied. More, 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 and they never have enough. And so the Bible says that a poor man who's a Christian and has only a small bite to eat in his house is happier than the child of the devil who has all the money in the world. That's the way it is. Now, Jesus one time said, when he sat by a well, he said, you know, whoever drinks of the water that comes out of this well is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. And you see, that's the way it is with the things of the world. They never really satisfy. The more you get, the more you want. And the more you have, the find out, the less you even like the things you've got. They just don't satisfy you. There is a craving in the human being, deep down. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but it's there. And there's only one place you can go to have that craving satisfied. There's a hunger in your soul that you can only find satisfied in one place. There's a thirst in your soul that you can only find satisfaction for in one place. And that's in Jesus Christ. Whoever gives the water, takes the water that I will give him, he says, will never, ever thirst again. And this is what Jesus has in mind when he says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, what kind of righteousness is he talking about? He's talking about the righteousness that he has, that he can give to you. And that's a perfect life. Because you see, this is the thing that your Heavenly Father demands. The soul that sins, he says, is going to die. And anyone whose sins are not forgiven is going to end up in hell separated from Jesus Christ. And they're going to hunger and thirst forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's never going to end. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness means to be right with God. And that happens only one place, and that's at the foot of the cross, where you and I come to Jesus and say, Lord, we have sinned. Forgive us our sins. And he covers our sins with his blood. Now, Psalm 63 begins this way. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. We say, well, there's water here. Well, but not the kind of water that's going to quench your soul. We need the water of life, the living water that comes down from heaven. That's the only thing that can do it. Now, there's a vision in Revelation. It's one of the most amazing visions in the whole Bible. I'd like to end the sermon this morning by reading that. It's in Revelation chapter 7. The hymn that we just sang a few minutes ago was based on this particular piece of scripture. John, you know, is out on the island of Patmos, sitting there all by himself in exile because he was preaching the word of God, and his enemies grabbed him and put him out there in exile on that island. He could look to the mainland and see it, but he couldn't get over there. And all of his friends were left behind. He was sitting there all by himself. And then all of a sudden he had a vision, and he wrote the book of Revelation from that vision. And part of it was this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. The question was, who are these lucky people? These blessed people. These people who are robed in white and they're sitting around the throne and they're enjoying all the blessings of God. Who are they and where did they come from? And the answer was this. He said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation is this world that you and I are living in, where every day we have enemies that are searching after our soul and trying to take us down into the pit. And we're tempted every day. This is the place of the great tribulation. And these are they which have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now this is a miracle, isn't it? The blood is red and they washed their robes in this red blood and the robes came out white. Their sins were forgiven and they were given the righteousness of Jesus. Therefore they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. Neither shall the sunlight upon them or any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now it is an uncomfortable feeling to hunger and thirst. But Jesus says, Blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you one of those? Am I one of those? Do we have a hunger and a thirst to appear before God? Do we have a hunger and a thirst to open His Word and meditate in it every single day and live our lives according to it? If we do, this comes only from the Holy Spirit, and very blessed are we. We'll have a prayer.